Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This past week, there was a lot of TV coverage of President Bush's funeral, and I watched as much as I could. And I was struck once again by the power of ritual. There was all the religious pomp and circumstance at the National Cathedral, and there were the equally formal military traditions, which I know some of you know. So I was struck by these images, images of people silently walking around the casket, lying in state in the rotunda. Images of salutes, images of faithful dogs, images of a train wending its way through Texas. These images were powerful. But the words that were spoken were transformative. There were eulogies and commentaries that spoke of the power of a life well lived. And of course, as always, there were some muted criticisms, mostly criticisms that pointed out, not only pointed out the president's missteps, but pointed out that he himself was aware of any failures that he had. He apparently took constructive criticism well. I often feel when listening to people speak about someone who has passed on, whether they're someone famous or someone from this community of saints, that I wish I had known that person better. And a lot of the time I feel that their life, as remembered, is like a mirror that is being held up to my own life. So I wish that I could be more like that person. And through the memories that are being shared, I feel invited to open my eyes to my limitations, but invited to change for the better. And I feel somewhat the same way in response to John the Baptizer. He brings hope, as well as some constructive criticism. He brings an opportunity to change for the better. John is a challenger. And sometimes I think it can be hard to find the good news in what he's saying. I mean, he says things like, "You brood of vipers, you children of snakes, good grief. And every tree that doesn't bear fruit will be chopped down and tossed into the fire." Wow, that is hard to hear. And the people who came to be baptized by John know that he's talking to them, he's talking about them. And they seem to take it well. They know that he is critiquing them with good reason. And so they ask, what should we do? How can we change for the better? And not only the general crowd asks this, but the tax collectors ask, the soldiers ask this, and they're both known in their day for abuse and corruption. Hearing John, they all feel the call to repentance and change. And what John does is he holds up that mirror to them. He shows them their lives for what they are and says, don't collect more taxes than you're authorized. Don't cheat or harass anyone. He opens their eyes. And sometimes we need to have our eyes opened about ourselves. We may think too well about ourselves. We may imagine ourselves to be smart and intuitive and always right. Or frankly, we may not think well enough of ourselves. We may believe ourselves to be inadequate or unlovable. Either way, we can get stuck in a false understanding of ourselves. And we need that outside perspective to open our eyes and challenge us to accept a different reality. Have you ever been walking down a street and you caught a sight of someone and you thought, that person is a mess. They have a bad haircut, they have clothes that don't fit. And then you realize that you were looking in the reflection from a window. And that person is you. Well, John is like that reflection. He is like that mirror, unflattering, sometimes harsh. And he tells us things that we do not want to know about ourselves. He tells us we need to change. and that's probably the last thing we want to hear at Christmas, he just doesn't pull any punches. He says people need to repent. And for John, repentance isn't an inner state. It's not just feeling sorry for what we've done, but living that out ethically, living differently. Sometimes we need to have our eyes opened to the situation of the world, to the need that is all around us, need that is so easy to be unaware of. And John points out there are people who don't have enough to eat, and we have more than enough. There are people who are being oppressed by people with more power over them, and we look on. John invites us to change, to repent. And the way of real repentance shows up in an altered life. As we develop a life that shows compassion towards people in any kind of need, and compassion not only of the heart, but of the hands and feet as well. So John holds up this mirror and he invites us to open our eyes. But you know, that could happen any time of year. Repentance is always appropriate. What is John the Baptizer doing in the Christmas story? He wasn't at the manger with the shepherds or the wise men. He didn't live long enough to follow Jesus, become a disciple. He didn't stand under the cross. He never proclaimed resurrection. And yet, from the very beginning, the church has proclaimed John's vital role, preparing the way for the coming of the Lord, inviting people to repent, not just for their own sake, but as a preparation for Jesus' adult ministry. You know, the odd thing is that John's harsh and uncompromising words led people to wonder if he was the Messiah. Was he the leader who was going to free Israel from the oppressive rule of the Romans? No. John is preparing the way for the Lord, for Jesus. He's not interested in taking any glory for himself. Instead, John is preaching good news that the Messiah is coming, bringing salvation. And he says, all flesh, everyone, shall see the salvation of God. If you're interested in art and art history, you may know that many medieval pictures of Jesus have three parts. And there's Jesus in the middle, and there's Mary on one side, and there's often John on the other side. And John is usually pointing towards Jesus, pointing away from himself to Jesus. And that's what John does with his life. He points away from himself. He points to the coming Messiah. John knows that he's not the important one. Jesus is. And so John is speaking to us this season. He's telling us to make sure that our idea of ourselves and the self that we catch a glimpse of unexpectedly in the mirror, that those two images are in sync. John wants that for us. And he also says, treat those who have less than yourself with compassion. Share with them what you have. And by doing this, you will be preparing the way within yourself for the coming of the Lord. That may sound like a harsh word, but it is a word of salvation. It will prepare us to worship the baby at the manger. It will prepare us to receive the compassion of the adult Christ when we fall into the company of the tax collectors and the sinners. And it will prepare us to stand at the foot of the cross, knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we hear John calling us to prepare the way of the Lord by repenting, but we think he must be talking to someone else. We don't often stop to think about the repenting we need to do. Help us, God, to look honestly at ourselves. And be with us during Advent as we repent and prepare for the coming of your Son. Help us to see the changes we need to make in our lives and give us the courage and the power to make them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.